Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
Are you ready, Andrew, to
see where we go? Have you been encouraged so far?
Yes.
Good. I have.
Yeah.
You know, we serve a God who is an active God.
Yeah.
That is not what the church seems to portray these days.
No.
You know, it seems to be the church has got onto the lines of just being do-gooders.
Yeah, it has.
Just doing the nice things. Where's the power of God? Where's the power of God?
It's
supposed to be in the church.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I've given you all power and all authority. I just today, I thought to myself, what am I going to preach on today? I haven't got a clue. So here I am, I have nothing to give. But I've got so many thoughts running through my mind. But which one does God want me to run on? Where does God want us to go? Where does God want us to go? Take note of that. Maybe that's the title for today. Where does God want us to go? What does God want us to be like? To be like Him. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. When you read the story, or the stories of the life of Jesus, as you can literally flick through the New Testament, through John's Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and all the time you will find that Jesus is out doing something. And most of the time, when he's not teaching them what God is like, he's actually showing them what God is like.
Yeah.
He's actually going out and healing people.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
He's a healer. And he's sending his disciples out to do the same thing. Is that not a pattern? Is that not him laying down the lines of this is what you should do? He said, follow me to his disciples. Follow me. That does not mean all stand up and just follow me round the room. Right? It does not mean like that, what Simon does, you do. You know, if Simon jumps, everybody jumps in the air. You know, it's not that type of follow me. Follow the things. Follow the example. Follow what I'm doing. The heart, follow the heart of the Father. And God wants to do you good.
Amen.
Most people want to do us down.
Yeah.
God wants to do you good. So when you're sick, God wants to reach out and touch you and heal you.
Yeah, it does.
I came to Jesus Christ through seeing people being healed.
Amen.
I'd been in Sunday school up to the age of 11. And never had an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
I went to a Catholic church for a while. And never had an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And yet in my mind, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God.
Amen.
And I believed that one day I'd see him. One thing I didn't know, didn't believe, and hadn't done, was I hadn't accepted him as my Lord and Saviour.
Yeah.
I had not had that personal experience. And I'd heard stories of him. We'd been taught at school, in Sunday school. It's a little bit like, I know of the Queen. Do you know of the Queen? What's her name? You're clever, aren't you? You, Elizabeth, isn't it? No, I know. Of course she knows. It's Queen Elizabeth, isn't it? But do you know her? No. And neither do I. But we know of her. We know that she's been on the throne now for, what is it, 60 years? For most of us, that might be more than we've actually lived. So, we know of her, but we don't know her, do we?
No.
Can't go knock on the door and say, hello Elizabeth, can I come in? Can we come in and have a cup of tea? It's not going to happen, is it? Huh? Yeah, can you? Yeah, but I bet she'd answer though. So we know of her. And in the same way, I knew of Jesus. And there are a lot of people who know of Jesus and seem to say, well, I'm a Christian. Just because I know of him or because I live in a Christian country. Well, it doesn't work like that. I went to some meetings. And a man preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Died and on a cross was crucified for my sins, for my sicknesses, for my diseases, for everything that I'd ever done wrong and was going to ever do wrong. But Jesus died on that cross for me.
Amen.
Gave his life, shed his blood, took my punishment for me. And all I had to do was to ask him to come into my life and to surrender my life to him and say, look, I'm exchanging my filthy rags. I'm exchanging my filthy lifestyle for a new life in Jesus. And ask him to come and be Lord and make him Lord of my life. And in doing that, I started on the road to eternal life. I started on a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time in my life. And yet I'd been to church, I'd been to Sunday school, but it did not make me a Christian or a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But that day I asked him into my life. But the thing that really hit me was that I saw people being healed. I saw ministers praying for people and blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being unstopped, crutches being thrown away, steel corsets being taken off, and people being set free.
Amen.
And I said, this must be Jesus.
Amen.
This must be Jesus. Because when you read the Word of God, when you start to read the Bible, if we turn, for instance, to Matthew, guess where we're going? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It's a good place to start. I'm beginning to think all wisdom and all revelation of Jesus starts in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What's all these things? What do we have need of? Some people have need of... Well, everybody has need of salvation.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Some people have need of healing.
Yes.
Physically, emotionally.
Yes.
They need a touch from God. Some people need love. Well, the best love you can ever get is the love of God. Because there are no conditions attached. You know, if you do this, then I'll love you. If you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Well, there are conditions, aren't there? There are no conditions. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and life and love goes on forever. And he will always do you good.
Yeah.
Chapter 7 of Matthew. I'm just going to roll this quickly along. And verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. There you go.
Yeah.
Seek and you will find. You see, it's connected to seek ye first. What are you seeking? Self-worth? Seeking a fortune? Seeking to achieve something for yourself? All these things can be gone in a moment. As we heard the testimony, changing a wheel on a car. And a truck came by. Ran over one and hit the other one. Could have been dead both. We pray and God moves.
Amen.
We ask God to move and God moves. Life can be taken away in a moment. How long are you going to live for? Exactly. Do you see, I know, but don't you get too smart yet. In the physical, in this physical body, how long do you know you are going to live?
I don't. It's a vapor.
We don't, do we? I don't know if I've got breath for tomorrow. But Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So the thing to do as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, is live this day, live this moment as if it's the last.
Yes. Amen.
Live it with the energy that God gives. Live it with power.
Amen.
Live it with such vigor and goodness. Billy Graham, what is he, 95? He's led more people through his word, through the words of Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ, than you can imagine. He's been led before kings and prime ministers, and he's preached the word of God. Never made it change at all. Never said, I'll water it down for you. We have to come to Jesus and we have to give him our everything. And what you've got's nothing worth having, really. Let's be truthful. It can be gone in a vapor. Tonight, your house could be struck by lightning and everything you've got could be gone. And you with it. I don't know whether I'm promised tomorrow. But as Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And eternity is in Christ Jesus. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock. It shall be open. But there's a reverse side of this. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
He's knocking on your door. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, he's knocking on your door.
He is.
And there's no handle on his side.
He'll only come if you ask.
You have to open that door and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, into my life, and begin the process to change me. And I'll be honest, let's be truthful. If we look at ourselves in reality and stand and look at the mirror, and if we could actually see deep inside of ourselves, if we were honest enough to see and look deep inside, we'd say, oh, what a wretched, wicked man that I am.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus comes.
He loves us.
And takes that wretched, wicked man and woman. And pours in his love and pours in the sacrifice of his life.
Yeah.
Clothes us in righteousness.
Amen.
Covers us with his love. Pours his love into our life.
Thank you, Jesus.
And suddenly we become beautiful in his eyes. We become beautiful in his eyes. And it's all because of this sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. Verse 8 says in that same chapter, Matthew 7, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." Wednesday night, we asked God to move somewhere out in Africa and send healing and restoration to a family member. And Thursday morning, or Thursday during the day, there's a phone call. He's awake. He's recovered. Hallelujah. God hears and answers prayer. God cares for his children. God cares for those that love him, and God is for you and not against you. Most of the time you've been preached, God's going to get you. Well, he is, but he's going to get you for the right reason. He's going to get you with his love. That's his passion. He wants to draw you into the kingdom of God. He wants to draw you into his very presence. He wants you to have the best. Most of us have made some rotten choices.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that loud and clear, didn't I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've walked down the wrong pathway. You know. So, oh, this looks interesting. I'll just nip down here. Yeah. Nope.
Exactly. Wrong path. Wrong pathway.
Right.
Deep holes.
Dark, deep holes.
Yep.
Slippy. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Got your life into a mess. The only way back is through Jesus Christ. I've come to set you free, he says. I've come that you might have life and have it to an abundance. You know, King Solomon, when he was enthroned and placed on the throne at a young age, had a great nation to rule. His father had set up the nation. He made great provision, and he wanted to build a temple for the glory of God. And God said, "No, your son's going to do it, Solomon." And when God came to Solomon in a dream one night, he said to him, "You're highly favored. You've worshipped me. You've honored me. What do you want?" Yeah, he had two names. One was Jedediah, beloved of God. Beloved of God. You know, you are beloved of God. God came to him and said, "What do you want? What do you really want? Name it and you can have it." Well, what would you want? Let me see. Wealth, fame, next, and you can go on, can't you? Ferrari. The money to service it, you know, everything else, you know. You could think of all sorts of things what you would want. Solomon's this great king. What does he want? Wealth and power and authority. Huh? A new laptop. See? It's what life gets like. All Solomon said, "God, give me wisdom to rule this great nation you have made me king over. That's all I need. Just wisdom." Because he said, "I really don't know how to come in and go out.
No.
I'm only a kid, really."
Yeah.
I'm still wet behind the ears, he's saying. I'm still fresh at this. I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. And God said, I'll give you wisdom. But because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for fame, you didn't, I'm going to give you everything else. Wow. But it's about seek first. Because he knew he needed to have wisdom to rule this nation for God. To guide this nation closer to God. And the only way he was going to do it was through wisdom. The wisdom of God. You and I need to realize that God wants to give you something greater than what you've already got.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wednesday night we were speaking and we even brought up in Luke chapter 8 and verse 45. And it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She'd paid every doctor, she'd spent just about everything she'd got. So you can't buy health.
No.
The doctors don't cure everything.
No.
You can't buy happiness.
No.
Money does not do it. It can only go so far.
Yeah.
Why is it rich people's kids end up on drugs? Give them a car, give them some money, give them this, give them that. Just keep them out of my hair, keep them happy, just give it, keep giving and giving and giving and giving until in the end, what they really wanted was a relationship.
Yeah.
What they really wanted was love from a real family.
Yeah.
Money doesn't do it.
No.
It doesn't work. But this woman had spent everything she'd got. There was nothing left. She shouldn't be out in public. She shouldn't be out amongst the people. She's unclean. She knew it. But she knew something else. She knew that Jesus Christ was coming through the town. And she knew that if she made contact with him, life would change.
Amen.
Things would be different.
Yes.
But she's got weak.
Yeah.
And so she ends up and she's on her hands and her knees and she's fighting her way through the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Think about it. She had to be. Because it says that she fought her way through and she says she touched the hem of his garment. Well, what position is she in when she's touching the hem of his garment? She's got to be on her hands and her knees. She probably was stood on. She was desperate. Because she knew when she could get hold of the hem of his garment, something is going to change.
Amen.
Something is going to change.
Amen.
And as we said, there's a big crowd around Jesus. And as he's going by, everybody's touching him. Ah, you know, I've touched Jesus, you know. Ain't it great, you know. Wow. Loads of people are touching him. And then just suddenly Jesus stops and says, whoa. Somebody touch me.
Yeah.
You know, there's his disciples. Here we go. What do you mean, somebody touched you? Everybody is touching you.
Yeah.
No. No. Somebody touched me.
Yeah.
In other words, somebody is reaching out
in
faith. They're not just going to say, hey, guess what? When Jesus came to town, I touched Jesus, you know. It's like she reached out and said, I've got it.
Yeah.
Now I've got it. Jesus says, virtue, power, healing power left my very being. He felt something go through his very body. Praying with Helen immediately as I started to pray for her, I felt something go through my body. That's why I said there is a presence of God in the place. And when you reach out in faith, believing, and touching the hem of his garment, healing, virtue flowed. He looked around. Who is it? And let me tell you this. He recognizes where the anointing is. He can see the anointing. And the anointing sat on this dear woman. She's just been healed and the glory of God is upon her. And he looks at her and he says, you. Wow. Thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people are pushing around him that day. But one person goes to him in faith with a mission and a desire that knowing full well the story she's heard that when she touches the edge of his garments, life will change forever.
Thank you.
Amen. Life will change forever.
Yes.
And he turns to her and in verse 48 he says, woman, daughter. Daughter, he says. Good terms, you know, loving terms. Daughter.
I'll adopt you.
Yeah. She's a daughter of faith.
Exactly.
Loving terms. Daughter. Your faith. Your faith has made you well. Not faith in herself, but faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the healer, the deliverer, the one who sets captives free. That's the one we serve. And as I said to you as I was looking through the Bible today, just reading different portions. Chapter 9 of Luke. And he called 12 of them together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. I think it's fantastic. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. That's the lifestyle. That's the pattern of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, be an imitator of me as I'm an imitator of Christ. He went about healing the sick and doing good. Trouble is today, we've got so focused on just doing good that we're denying the power of an almighty God. We're denying the power of Jesus Christ. That name will change lives. But we have to believe and we have to begin to press into His presence. And as we press into His presence, then we will find the power of God flowing through our lives. God wants His church to be a church that goes out and heals the sick, has power over demonic forces, and sees lives change, raises the dead.
Yeah.
That is the commission for the church.
Yeah.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in the name of Jesus. We've gone away from it.
Yeah.
We're busy having a good praise party.
Yeah.
Oh, let's have a praise party this week. And when we've had that praise party, what are we going to do then? Oh, maybe we'll have another one next week or the week after. When do we do something that is in accordance with the Word of God? When do we go out and preach the word? When do we go out and heal the sick? When do we go out and declare the word of God? He said to his disciples, you know, don't take any money, don't take anything with you. I'll provide for you all along the way. When you start doing what I told you to do, I'll bless you. We need to get back to that. We need as a nation to get back to that. But you see, we might not look respectable. Why? Why do you want to look respectable? Why do you want to look good in the world's eyes? We need to look good in God's eyes. You see, they rejected Jesus, and Jesus never ever did anything wrong. They crucified him. So if he can't look good in the world's eyes, what chance have you got? What chance has the church should have of looking good in the eyes of the world? None. Because he was perfect. And if you look in the mirror, you'll find that you're not quite perfect yet. The church is not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, don't come here. Because the moment you do, you'll mess it up for us. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're never going to find one. Because it's made up of strange people. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in the image of God. God wants to use each and every one of you. And he wants to send you out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in his name. And I believe every time we pray that God's word is sent forth to heal. I expect to see healings. I expect to see miracles. And I've made a decision that I want to live my life at seeing signs, wonders and miracles. The greatest signs, wonder, and the miracle is when somebody comes to Jesus and says, Lord, become Lord of my life and take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life, make my soul life, make my brain at times melt away. Make me like a precious stone. Crystal clear and finely owned. Life of Jesus. Shining through. See, a stone in itself has no light. A diamond has no light in itself. When the light hits it, you get a high quality diamond. When that light hits that diamond, it produces something. Let me tell you this. You've given your life to Jesus. When the light of God hits you, it produces something in you and through you that affects others. Amen? You've seen it, you've experienced it, and you will still experience it. We have got to declare. We've got to be bold. Sometimes I've been too bold, people would say, and they've walked away from us. That's okay. Because we have to be bold and we have to be strong and we have to declare the word of the Lord. Amen. And I believe God wants his church back. Yes. And he wants his church back that it's on fire. He don't want a lukewarm church. Like Grace spoke of. He doesn't want a lukewarm church. He wants it to be ready to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I'm doing the will of my Father. And if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, make him Lord of our life, our Father becomes Father God. And we begin to do the work of the Father. And the Father, Jesus says, the Father says, he's love. God is love. And he's come to give his love to the world. And that love of healing and redemption, signs, wonders and miracles are all there and available through the name of Jesus Christ. All you've got to do is begin the relationship. Begin the walk. Ask Him into your heart and life. Trust Him. And say, well, I don't understand this. I didn't say accept Him when you understand Him. Because most of us use things today that we don't understand. Computers being one. Windows 8 is another. And we use it. Electricity, you use it. You don't understand it, but you use it. You may understand some of it. You'll understand something of God as you get to know Him. But you'll never plumb the depths of God until we arrive in eternity. In His very presence. Just want to encourage you, if today you've not made a decision for Jesus, before you leave this building, do it. If you've never really given your heart fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever you do before you leave this building, do it. That Billy Graham song, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." And they used to sing that right at the end of the meetings. And hundreds and thousands of people will walk down to the front to give their hearts and their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people here today through Billy Graham. Roy's one of them. Bill, is Bill? No. Roy's, Helen. She, well, you've been at the meetings, weren't you? But Roy gave his heart to Jesus. How many people has Roy spoken to and led to Jesus? Tracy, that's two that we know of, but there are more than that. It just snowballs. Just as I am. What have you got to offer God? A ragged mess. A life that's going nowhere. But as you bid me, Lord, I come. I come, Lord Jesus. And when we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, say, Lord, become Lord of my life. Take me as I am. I can come no other way. When we surrender, to somebody that's not going to destroy us. We surrender to somebody who's going to restore. We surrender to somebody who's going to restore us. You see, often we think surrendering, you guys that's been in the army, surrender's not an option. Problem is today, surrender is the only option to survive and live on in eternity. And as we surrender all to Jesus, all to Him I freely give, as we make Him Lord of our lives, I tell you what, life will change. And to get to know Him, you have to spend time in the Bible. You have to get to know Him. You have to spend time in the Bible. And when you get to know Him, you'll see great things done for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If anybody wants to speak to us afterwards, come and talk to me. And we'll talk some more about how to find Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. How to give your life. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if anybody wants to accept the Lord right now, just come out here. Want to make Jesus Lord of my life? Just walk out right now.
Yes,
and say, I want Jesus in my life.
Yeah, I do. I do as well.
If you've never done it before, come out and do it. Praise God. I just want to say one other thing. Remember last week, was it last week, we were talking about giving to the disaster in the Philippines at this time. As a church, we will give through Metro Ministries who work out in the Philippines. So if you want to give anything to that, to help out in the Philippines, then one sure way of guaranteeing that this money, that your money goes and does the job that you want it to do, would be to give it through Metro Ministries. And not through some of these advertised charities that are appealing for your money, that take a that will take a pound off you and give 10 pence to the work. The rest of it is in administration. We know that where this money goes, at least 90% of it, I'm not going to say 100%, but I know definitely at least 90%, if not 100%, will go to the work that is needed to be done in the Philippines, amongst children in particular. So if you want to give, put it in an envelope, mark it for the Philippines, the appeal, and we'll send a check off on your behalf from the church and see God moving. Amen? So praise the Lord. We need to get it off. If you're going to send an offering, can you do it within either this week or by next week at the latest, so that we can get that money away, please? Okay?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
Praise God. Thank you.
I'll hand over back to Graham.